Hey there, I'm Wendy Vaughn, Sales Success Coach. Now, they call me the Queen of Predictable Sales Results. Well, because the easy formulas I share create sustainable, predictable results for my clients. And I am so glad that you've tuned in to today's episode of the Selling Made Easy Show, because this show is all about inspiration, not just in demystifying the client getting process known as sales, but also in peering through the lens of guest entrepreneurs who are blazing their own trails. And those trails have probably included a few unexpected roadblocks, maybe even having to overcome fears or blocks about selling. Now, I believe everyone has their zone of genius, their superpower that's a gift to others, including you. Now, for me, after 22 years of outperforming my peers in sales results, well, it's almost an X-ray vision that I have when it comes to finding and fixing any sales blind spots within entrepreneurs that are unknowingly causing clients to slip away. And with today's guest, his zone of genius is his ability to connect and relate with teens and young adults in a way that supports them socially, emotionally, and behaviorally. So I am super excited to introduce Matt Douglas. Now, Matt is a life coach and academic counselor for teens and young adults who works one-on-one with his clients and their families to help support them through this difficult process of growing up. Now, his focus is on creating a trusting, honest, collaborative relationship with the young people that he works with, helping them identify and then strategize ways to overcome the challenges they face. Now, the ultimate purpose of Matt's work is to produce self-awareness and confidence in a teen or young adult in order for them to achieve their own unique social, academic, professional, and personal goals. Now, Matt has worn many other hats in the field of education, from high school teacher to tutor to group director of a teen travel summer camp to private school administrator. Now, he currently lives in Northern Virginia after leaving sunny San Diego, trading his surfboard in for a mountain bike, and has recently gotten married. Well, welcome, Matt. I am so excited to have you as my guest today.
Thank you so much, Wendy. It's great to be here. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, and you know, I just love how you're helping teens and young adults as they navigate this exciting yet stressful transition into adulthood. I can't wait to hear more about this and the work you're now doing.
Thanks. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I've known this for a long time now, and I love the work that I do, and it's always brought me a lot of joy, and it's been a very rewarding experience. Hasn't always gone the way I thought or predicted, but it's been great the whole way.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to hear more and get into some of those details. And I'm curious here, Matt, exactly what was the inspiration or tipping point that prompted you to start your own coaching practice?
So it actually, for me, goes back a long time. This is actually the second time I've gone out on my own and sort of worked for myself and started a business. The first time was just about 2 years after I graduated college. I had been a high school teacher. That was kind of my passion and what I wanted to try out. Unfortunately, didn't go as well as I had hoped. I was pretty jaded by it after a couple of years, just wasn't in a great school situation, unfortunately. And I looked around and wanted something better, basically. Mm-hmm. And I saw a friend who was working as a private tutor, living on his own, working on his own and making it on his own. Mm-hmm. And I thought, wow, I never heard of that. And if he can do it, then I think I can do that too.
Right.
So I ended up going off on my own for a few years and doing that. And eventually a few years after that, I came back to the education world through a private school this time, and that was extremely rewarding. But after a little while, sort of the same feelings came. I knew the job that I had taken out in San Diego, I knew would be temporary, essentially. Mm-hmm. And I was looking around after a year and a half or so for another job that I thought would fit, and nothing really fit. And I said, you know what? I've gone out on my own once before. Let me see if I can try this again. And that prompted my life coaching business. I went out this time with more expertise, more awareness, more skill in the work that I had. And it's been for me since I made that decision.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great. I love that. How you, you know, you realize that even though you had some great skills that the high school was benefiting from, it just really wasn't that great fit for you. And it sounded like you didn't quite line up with maybe the structure or the dynamics or whatever's involved in that type of a setting, but still felt this dedication to making that difference for people in their early phase of life. So yeah, that's great. Well, how long have you had your own coaching practice, and has your business mission or vision evolved during this time?
That's a great question. I've been working as a life coach now for about 3 years. I think that my vision has actually remarkably stayed very much the same. The vision has basically always been to work, you know, one-on-one with teens, young adults, and game plan and troubleshoot ways to kind of improve their lives and help them realize their full potential. The changes, I guess, that have happened for me, I mean, with COVID, everything's now virtual, but I've tried little things here and there to expand what I do, or you know, add little tools or tricks or trades here and there. And some have stuck around and I've kept them, and some, you know, have not. But overall, I've been doing what I've been doing for about 3 years and stuck really to it. And that's felt good too.
Yeah, right. And that's, you know, since you did start out with a similar version after your initial high school teaching experience, and then went back into more of a conventional teacher mode, and then ventured out into coaching again while you had that ability to really reflect on that vision and that focus at that time. So yeah, that makes sense. Well, have there been any big roadblocks or challenges that you've had to overcome along the way?
Yes, there definitely have. It's a pretty crazy and intimidating decision to go out on your own.
Oh yeah.
And I know people who would want to do that and they can't, or they won't, or they don't know how, you know, and that in a lot of ways was me, up until I saw a friend of mine do it, you know, and for me it was kind of that very personal realization of, oh, you know, somebody who I can relate with and know can do it, then maybe I can too.
Right.
You know, but that certainly doesn't mean there haven't been a lot of challenges. That first roadblock was definitely the confidence to go out on my own. You know, all I was kind of working with was the thought that there had to be something better than what I was doing at the time. The way that I go about, this is just sort of my personality and personally and definitely professionally, is I'm a very deliberate person about these big kind of decisions. So for me, you know, it was a lot about like doing a lot of homework and a lot of thought and a lot of research to see if a huge life change, you know, working for a boss and having a steady income and paycheck is very stable. Going out on your own is not, in a lot of ways. And so having the confidence to do that required from me a lot of that really personal research and homework. Since then, I've certainly faced challenges too. I'm sure every person who works for themselves, coach, what have you, you know, has a different backstory and experience. But for me, I had zero training as in business or in marketing or anything like that. You know, I went to college as an educator and a historian. You know, right. I never stepped foot in a business class. So that was definitely challenging. And I really had to figure out how to market myself and the logistics of being a business person, of books and taxes and legal issues, you know, and there's just a whole slew of things. And one of the things, I don't want to intimidate anybody who's listening to this, they're all absolutely overcomeable. You know, they are not challenges that you can't face. They just take time to learn about and research. And that's what I did. And then another big challenge is, you know, when you work for yourself, you really don't have that social structure of colleagues. For me, having worked in schools, of all the kids running around, that like social dynamic, that excitement, you know, you're on your own.
Yep.
And there's challenges with that. There's feelings of loneliness sometimes, or just, you know, you're on your own and there's no colleagues to talk to or relate with. And that took some time to get used to, I think.
Yeah. That feeling of just being on an island.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And, you know, as a coach like this, and I'm sure a lot of people who are listening to your podcast, is they probably feel some of the same thing. And I know that there are networks and business networks and that kind of thing, and they can be a great opportunity to talk to people who've done what you're doing or what you want to do and kind of relate in that way. And so mm-hmm. your network changes, but it doesn't mean that there doesn't have to be a network.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Those are all big challenges that, that do seem to crop up, you know, and we're not born with all those skills. Like you said, the business skills and the, you know, sales and marketing. And it's, I like to draw the analogy of, it's kind of like riding a bike, you know, and I say this quite often and, you know, we weren't born with that ability either. And it can be kind of a difficult transition, learning how to gain those skills of riding a bike. But once we've got those skills, then we've got them, you know, for life. Yeah. So can you share a little bit maybe about what you did to gain that confidence in yourself to step out and, you know, spread your own wings? I know that you had mentioned that you saw a friend that I guess had chosen to work for himself and that if he could do it, you could do it. But, you know, there has to be some other internal mechanisms that maybe you utilized to help you, you know, gain that strength. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to. I think it's different for every person, but for me, I think I've always kind of had an independent streak. And I was very single-minded about the work that I wanted to do. And that really drove me. I wanted to be an educator and a mentor and sort of do it my way. And I was looking for a way to do that. You know, for everybody who's trying to go out on their own, it really starts with your passion. That's how I feel. I was really passionate about this type of work, whether it was tutoring or life coaching like I'm doing now. It felt, for whatever reason, to me, very innate. And that was sort of, that's what I have taken, you know, from the first time I went off on my own to now. And that's what sort of driven me through right. a lot of these challenges.
Yes.
So for me, that was the starting point. And then it was just kind of the homework of it, the research of it. And I, like I said, I'm a very deliberate person in these ways. And I spent a lot of time and a lot of effort, both times I decided to go out on my own, deciding if it was the right call. So I'll talk a bit about this most recent time because it's most relevant and most recent. But I spent close to a year deciding if this was the right decision for me. I had been working for a school as an administrator, a private progressive school called Fusion Academy, which was great and aligned with my values and all that kind of thing. But I wanted to do this work on my own if I could. So I looked through everything I could look through to decide if this was right. So I started just by doing kind of an internal check on myself. You know, I was already mentoring kids in some way at the school I was at in my previous jobs. And the internal check for me was, can I still do this on my own? Can I do this if I'm one-on-one with a teen or a young adult? Can I do this if I'm one-on-one with them and their family? Can I have those conversations? Do I have the confidence, my ability, my skills to do that? And I really thought about it and I determined that, yes, I have that confidence. So once I determined that, it was a lot of those other administrative, logistical, legal, you know, things about going off on my own.
Right.
So just to give some examples, I had to figure out how to get my own health insurance. You know, that was, I made a lot of phone calls and figured a lot of things out. I did a lot of budgeting. I had to figure out how to market myself. So I had to figure out how to make a website. And if I wanted a website or a Facebook page or an Instagram account or whatever I was going to use, I made business cards, I made flyers, I put them around, I, you know, went around to businesses and handed them out to people and all that kind of thing. I was trying to figure out, how do I get clients? Obviously, without clients, I don't have a business.
Right.
I had to figure out legal issues. You know, I'm now kind of in some murky waters where I'm not a therapist, you know, but I certainly border on some of those discussions sometimes. And I'm also working one-on-one with a kid and their family and their minors. And there are now legal issues with that. I'm a mandated reporter, which means I'm required to report if there's some kind of, you know, violence or domestic abuse in the household or suicidal ideation, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Other business and financial homework and research I had to do. So, you know, it was never insurmountable. And I knew that going into it. But I did know that it would require some real dedication to the planning process. And I was confident enough in myself that if I worked through all that and decided, yes, this would work out, that I would do it. But I was also self-assured enough to know that if those answers were no, and I couldn't do it, or they wouldn't work, or it was too expensive or something, then I could say no to it, at least for now.
Yeah.
And I encourage anybody who's thinking about going off on their own to really do their homework first, because you'll know if you can do it or not usually, but it also is going to help you so much when you eventually do go off on your own, because you're going to have so much of that work done and your stress will be a lot lower when you actually start your working for yourself.
Right. Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. You've really put in a lot of the pre-work to know that it's a sound decision versus just a whim. So,
right.
Like you said, there's right. a lot at stake. And, but I just loved how I heard you talk about just that entrepreneurial spirit that you knew that within you had this desire to really make a difference in your own way. So I think that came through really, really clearly. So, well, Matt,
you're
obviously an expert at helping teens, young adults, and their parents really learn how to have healthy relationships with each other and provide them with that critical support needed during this difficult phase of life. But I'm curious, how do you feel about the client enrollment or sales part of being in business? This is a very different skill set. Do you have any challenges or frustrations with this important part of growing a successful business?
It was definitely very challenging at first. Again, I was trained as an educator and a historian, not a businessman or a marketer. So those conversations were hard at first. You know, how do I walk up to somebody and explain who I am and what I do? Mm-hmm. What's an elevator pitch? Mm-hmm. You know, how do I hand out a business card? How do I have confidence myself to do those things? And literally, how do I get clients? You know, I've certainly gotten a lot more confident in that over the years. I've certainly got a lot better at that over the years, but I certainly wouldn't call myself an expert. I definitely still feel uncomfortable with it sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Well, are there any specific challenges that you want to bring up, and we could do a little bit of on the spot coaching?
Yeah, sure. So there's, I would say I've thought about this kind of thing, and there's a few things that I wish I were better at or that were different than how they are now. You know, as I grow my business and myself within it, you know, what can I change or do better? The first is I've sort of been longing to discover and take advantage of new opportunities in the field that I'm in. So, you know, I work one-on-one with clients and that is extremely rewarding, but I've always kind of felt that there's more possibilities out there that I haven't quite taken advantage of yet, and sort of a giant question mark about what those kind of things would be. I also do, you know, historically and even now, I definitely still struggle a bit with having the confidence to charge what I know that I'm worth. Mm-hmm. It's hard asking people for money. You know, again, business does not come, that's not my first, you know, where I started. So the whole financial part can be a little bit, not awkward, but you know, it's just not that comfortably all the time.
Sure.
And then also closing with clients in general. Specifically, I work with a lot of, like I said, teens and young adults, but often young adults are a lot more reluctant to ask for or take advice. So it's been harder to actually start working with those clients once I've had that initial conversation with them.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Those are all, yeah. You know, you're not alone. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
In terms of
each. I don't doubt it.
Yeah. In terms of each of those, they're very real roadblocks. Finding new ways to get our work out there and just being creative and how to be more impactful, you know, and taking, you know, being inspired to create new opportunities or, you know, new ways that we're working. And that's part of the excitement of being an entrepreneur, right? We have the ability to create the business that we want. And then of course, charging what you're worth goes both directions in terms of the inner work of stepping into the value of the work that we provide and maybe uncovering some money blocks, you know, that we had that started and are maybe still hanging on to the picture. And then, you know, this reluctance of your ideal client in wanting to move forward with their decision. This is, I think what I'd like to do is focus on that one here just briefly.
Okay, sure.
If that sounds good to you.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. So, you know, it is an interesting dynamic with the young adults, the teens, because they are in this phase of autonomy, you know, wanting to, you know, call their own shots and maybe even they feel that others who are of that adult category might not have as much intelligence as they they claim to have. And there's a lot of resistance there. Before you even have the conversation, there's already some baggage that comes into it.
Sure.
And then, you know, there's the resistance of just wanting to do things their way regardless. And then they're perceiving you as wanting to change them. So you've got a lot of things going against you. It's kind of like standing in the middle of a river that's trying to, you know, roar past you. And, you know, you're trying to take a step and it continues to push your feet a little bit. And so the dynamic of these individuals, I'm sure that you hear and you're really, no doubt, tuned into some of their hesitations or doubts or fears or resistance, right? Their objections that they come up with. But even to peel back the layers, I would imagine that a lot of their resistance and wanting to move forward is, well, what will others think? You know, if I'm working with somebody, am I going to get a lot of pressure from my friends? And how is this going to make me look socially? You know, that social pressure, that social status, that, you know, even if teens and young adults say, nah, I'm really independent, I don't rely on that. Well, I challenge that, because people like to feel that they have their act together. And, you know, if they're working with you, it might change that picture of themselves. And so in the enrollment conversation, there's a technique that I like to share that really is effective, that allows you to basically eliminate some of those objections that come up at the end. So instead of having to be confrontational at the end, which a lot of us don't like, you know, we don't like to be in a position of, you know, in your face kind of pressure, because you know what the best interest is for your ideal client and you don't want to force them, or obviously that doesn't work at all. And their next step would be, no, I don't want to work with you. And so the technique that I would love to share is one where you basically, you understand what the common or typical objections are for your ideal client. And whatever those might be, I shared what I'm perceiving as possibly is one, but whatever typically is coming up, and it has to be the truth, you know, the real, you know, below the layer reason and fear, really, for wanting to move forward and working with you. And you talk about this earlier on in the conversation, you build it into your discussion with them before it comes to the decision part, before it comes to the offer, this is what it looks like to work with me part. You know, right. So you talk about some of these objections in a logical way before they're brought up. And when you bring them up first in a way that's conversational and allows you to bring in the logic side of things, or sometimes there's power in social proof. It's just like you referenced, you know, when you notice that somebody else was tutoring and they were making a great living, well, I guess you could too. And later on, when you notice somebody who was a coach or an entrepreneur and they were successful, then you gain confidence in yourself. So a little bit of the similar thing in terms of talking about how other teens, other young adults have teamed up with you, and it's created this ability to gain new insights or skills that have led them to the kind of lifestyle that they want. So in other words, let me just shore this up by saying two techniques. One is to include and address typical objections before they come up and talk about them in a way that's then logically offsetting that objection. And then the other is to ensure your prospective client that they're not alone, that they're not unique, that normal kids, normal young adults, absolutely typical, it doesn't have to be, you know, the extreme type of profile. The normal young adults, just like them, have teamed up and have ended up getting what they want out of life. And so it just kind of creates that assurance that, well, if they can, I guess I can.
I actually really like that, Wendy. I wrote all that down. I'm taking notes. That's very interesting. And I think that I do some of that already, but it's not very intentional.
Mm-hmm. You have to almost reverse engineer the conversation.
Right.
To ensure that you really are addressing some of those fears, because for your ideal client, they have a lot of fears, right? There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of anxiety just in their wiring at this phase of their life, right? And so just that reverse engineering your conversation so that you're addressing some of their big fear points.
Now, what's interesting is usually I'm talking to the parent, you know, a parent's calling me and we're having our consultation. But it's the kid that I'm going to be working with. So typically it's the parent who does get bought in pretty quickly. But it is the kid who has to, they're the ultimate decider. And I'm thinking now if there's ways to now bring that kid into the conversation earlier and talk about these
Oh,
things,
yes,
you
absolutely.
know, with the group essentially. So that's actually a lot of food for thought.
Yes, definitely, because they are the ultimate decision maker, and that is super important, because once the torch is passed and the decision lies in the teen's hands, then it's not going to go as well as it should. So, but
Well,
yeah,
yeah, you know,
hopefully
and
that
'cause
moves the needle for you a little
I
bit.
think it does. I mean, you know, 9 times out of 10, I start working with a kid, and after one or two sessions, it's going great. But it's getting through that door. You know, it's getting them to see that before we've actually started. And I think that's really good advice.
You've got
Thank
to
you.
get the buy-in. So
Yep.
good. You know, Matt, we are still in the middle of this pandemic, which I thought would be well behind us.
Yes, join the club.
There is light at the end of the tunnel, thank goodness, with talk about the vaccine. So yay. But it has created a lot of stress for so many people in so many different ways. And I can only imagine what kind of stress it has brought to the foreground with these family dynamic situations and the
Yeah.
fact that, you know, a lot of school has now been remote. So these kids are at home now more. And so can you just talk a little bit about any impact that the pandemic has had on the work that you do?
Yeah. So it's affected everything, obviously. It's affected me personally. It's affected the nature of the work. You know, I'm all virtual now. But like you just alluded to there, I mean, it has really, really affected these kids. I mean, nobody's immune to the effects of all this. Life has been, the upheaval in society has been huge. That trickles down to everybody, especially these kids. And, you know, for most of the clients that I have, these are already young people who are struggling with something, whether it's social or academic pressures or issues with family or who knows what. That's a lot of the work that I do. And what I've really found, unfortunately, is that the effects of the pandemic have really, in many, if not most cases, exacerbated those sort of pre-existing issues that were there. And so I'm seeing families who are already on rocky ground now coming close to tearing themselves apart. And maybe that's a bit of an exaggeration, but I think there's a lot of truth there. I mean, you know, everybody's stuck at home. I mean, that's the other really big thing I'm seeing too. So these families are. They've already got their issues, okay, you know, but they're gone for most of the day and they're out with their friends in the afternoon and they're playing sports and they're going on the weekends. And now everybody's been forced to be in the same house for months on end. And even in the best of times, that's not fun for everybody, right?
That's right. Even
But,
newlyweds,
right, yeah, you
Matt.
know, felt fortunately, my wife and I have been really, really great about all this. It's been
That's
wonderful.
good.
But it's not been easy, I can say that. But you know, these kids are, I just see a lot of that. You know, I see self-destructive behavior, I see social isolation, in just folk going to that video game or computer game with those friends online and getting sucked into that world. I see kids losing their motivation. I see a lot of like despondency and just like, when's it gonna get better? There's nothing's gonna change. And yes, there appears to be light at the end of the tunnel, but it's still potentially months and months away. So, you know, it's tough. It's tough. And it can be hard for me sometimes seeing these families go through these issues. And, you know, for me, it feels really good to be able to help them through some of this sometimes, but it's there and it's present. And I encourage anybody who's listening to this, who's a teenager or a young adult or, you know, parents of one, to just be aware of the fact that it's affecting you, essentially you or your kids, probably in all of these ways and probably in ways that you don't even realize or see. I think that family and the people close to you and your close relationships are the things to really kind of hold on to right now and be really thankful for and happy about and work with. And if things are hard and you need a lifeline or some support or some help, get it. You know, there's no shame in that whatsoever. I've learned that. Took me a long time to learn that, but I certainly have. And I encourage anybody else listening to think about that too.
Yeah, definitely. It's difficult to admit that, you know, maybe it's something beyond our own skill set to be able to cope,
That's
but
right.
it is a very difficult phase, and you know, to transition into that adulthood from the child's life is just, I mean, I've raised three boys, so.
Yeah, so you know.
This is pretty close to home front for me, and we've all survived, but it definitely was not easy, and having somebody like you in our court would have made a huge difference. So, well, Matt, I'm just curious, how do you work with teens, young adults, and their families who want to finally achieve happy, trusting relationships that support a healthy transition into adulthood? Can you share a little bit about your philosophy and your approach?
Sure. Well, that is the goal. You know, that is the ultimate goal. Logistically, typically what I do is I work with clients about once a week for about an hour at a time. It's usually a FaceTime or Zoom call or something like that. And then I always give the parents that I work with the option of, you know, short 20 minute or so conversation to follow up. At the very least, I'm always sort of emailing or texting them updates on what I heard and what's going on with their kid. My philosophy really is all about having honest mentoring conversations. So I'm striving to create a trusting, mutual, respectful, no bullshit relationship with each of these clients. Right. You know, it really is sort of that fundamental deep, who are you, what do you want, and how can I help get you there relationship. For me, confidentiality is a really, really big, important part of it. Kids, young adults, teenagers especially, are usually pretty untrusting of adults. So I tell them all up front that anything that a young person is going to tell me that I work with is confidential. I'm not going to tell their parent unless there's some sort of suicidal ideation or violent tendency or something like that, and then I'm basically required to. And that sort of usually opens up the floodgates. And they're like, oh my God, I can actually tell this guy anything. And he's not going to judge me. And he's not going to, you know, he's just going to listen and be there. And,
right.
And usually the relationship just takes off from there. So it's our conversations. Usually they begin sort of on a two or three goals that either the kid has for themselves or the parent has for them. Social goals, academic goals, whatever it might be. But typically those conversations after a few sessions get broader and bigger and to other issues the kid might be facing, long-term, short-term goals they have, career, college, whatever their future might be. And it's very rewarding, and that's kind of how it works. And then, like I said, I always try to make as strong a relationship as I can with the parent. They are obviously part of it. Sometimes they even have conversations, you know, with the group, with me and the kid and the parent or parents. And we're sort of strategizing, game planning things that are happening. So it gets to be very dynamic and very fluid. And the relationship kind of goes where it's going to go.
Yeah, that's great. I just love that, you know, you take a very straight, direct approach. But yeah, it sounds like you lead with compassion, and you have a lot of the, you know, the framework in place for these teens and young adults to really express themselves and then, but not be judged, you know, and get that kind of support that's going to really empower them to step into their greatness and realize really their full potential and not be held back. So yeah, I love that. Well, how can listeners reach you if they're interested in learning more about working with you?
So I offer a free 30-minute consultation to anybody who's interested. So if anybody wants to reach out, I encourage them to look me up on my website, lifecoachingsd.com. It has all my information there, and it has a way to contact me. I also have a Facebook page under the same name and an Instagram account, Life Coaching SD on Instagram. And I put a lot of kind of words of wisdom up there and different things for teens and for parents. And I sometimes just put funny stuff going on in my life. So if you want to kind of get to know me better and kind of my who I am and all that kind of stuff, I encourage you to check those out.
Excellent. Okay. So that's Life Coaching SD as in San Diego.
Correct. Yes. So no longer in San Diego, but we're going to keep the SD.
We're going to keep it. Okay. So lifecoachingsd.com, and you're offering a free 30-minute consult.
Correct.
Wow. That's fantastic. That sounds like it's well worth people's time. And they can find you as well on Facebook and Instagram. Instagram sounds like a fun a place to learn some of your insights and wisdom, and get an inside look at who Matt Douglas is as well. So Life Coaching SD on either of those social platforms. So, all right. Well, Matt, it's just been so great. You've already shared so many golden nuggets of wisdom through our conversation. But if I could tap on you one last time here, in looking at your own experience in building your business What's some advice that you can share with, say, a frustrated entrepreneur who's maybe questioning their decision to have started their own business, or they're doubting their ability to succeed?
So I would say a couple things, but the most important thing I would say is to really just take a moment and step back and take an honest look at where you are and what you're doing. Evaluate your current circumstances as unemotionally as possible. And if there are things that you can change to make them better, then change them. And don't worry about making those changes. If you have to do it, do it. It's important for you and your business. If you need help, get it, you know? But on the flip side, kind of, if it's not working out, it's okay to be honest about that too. You know, some people dig themselves into holes financially because they're just trying and trying and trying. There's never any, in my opinion, you know, there's certainly never any shame about hanging up the towel. It can just be temporary until you sort of figure things out again. But, you know, I would say you took that leap, be really proud of yourself. I know you can always feel great about that, you know, and you can always go back to it again. So it really, for me, has always been and continues to be about honesty, just taking a look around at what's going on. And if there are things to change, change them, you know, and don't ever feel bad or ashamed or anything about doing that.
Right. Yeah. No, that's great. I love that. And it kind of reflects, I think, a little bit about how you coach.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Just like, you know, if you need help, get it. Need to make changes, do it.
Yeah.
You know, just like, let's assess the thing, figure out what's going right, what's going wrong, and adjust. So yeah, that's great. I love that. Well, Matt, it's just been so great hearing about your journey from your early career as a high school teacher, then through being a tutor, back into high school teaching, and now to the impactful work you're doing helping teens and young adults and their families through this difficult process of growing up. I've really enjoyed our conversation. I want to thank you so much for being a guest on my show today.
Well, thank you so much, Wendy. It's been great, and I really appreciate it. And you clearly are great at what you do too. Your advice there was definitely, you talk about golden nuggets, you got them too.
Okay, thank you so much. And again, for our listeners, you can reach Matt Douglas through his website, lifecoachingsd.com, and take advantage of that free consult. Sounds like it's really definitely a value-based opportunity. And look him up on Facebook and Instagram through lifecoachingsd. All right. And for all our listeners, remember, when it comes to building a business that brings you joy and has an endless flow of high-paying clients, well, don't overlook the power of the optimized sales conversation, where you've triggered all four psychological states needed for your prospective clients to feel confident and excited about saying, yeah, this sounds great. What's next? So are you 100% confident that your sales conversations are optimized? Well, if you're curious, reach out to me and apply for a sales blind spot coaching session. You may be surprised by what we discover. All right. Well, this is Wendy Vaughn, Chief Paradigm Shifter and Sales Success Coach. And you can find me in our next podcast episode at predictablesalesresults.com. All right. Well, thank you for tuning in to today's episode with Matt Douglas. And as always, here's to your success.